Welcome back, everybody, to the show. I know I've been on a bit of a hiatus here, but I'm back. I'm very busy, and as you might know, it takes a while to produce these episodes, so thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all of you. If you'd like to support the show, please go to anchor.fm/Drew-Goyer and donate to the listener support section, which appears right on the home screen as support. It helps keep the show up and running and to improve the quality of the sound, of the experience, of the content. So once again, if you want to support the show, please go to anchor.fm/Drew-Goyer to contribute as a supporter. Once again, sorry for the delay. Since the last show, I've been very busy and it takes a good amount of time to put these together. So thank you for your patience. I'm going to be trying uploading more and more. But regularity is something that's easier said than done. So we're going to get right into it today. Not a whole lot going on. Sort of waiting for everything to start back up again in terms of games, leagues. And that's where we start today. Topic number one. The MLB is officially back amid the pandemic, with training camp beginning in just under a week on July 1st and games beginning on July 23rd or 24th. So, the MLB, after a long dispute between the Players Association and the league itself, they have finally reached an agreement. But the main concern with the MLB, and I know that I've talked about this in the past, is that the CBA is set to expire in a couple of years, and amid this weird time where we couldn't really play for a while, and now they're starting it back up again, but there are still concerns about whether or not they're going to have fans and how it's all going to work. We know that the CBA is set to expire, and how are they going to move forward past this? Because I feel like this has sort of set a hurdle for the future, as they're going to be trying to renegotiate the collective bargaining agreement, which in any major sport is the hardest thing to do. Everyone knows that. So if you will want to look at the short term, which right now is mostly about trying to keep the cases down so that they can play and still be able to continue the season, because that's the ultimate goal. The main concern, and I think that the PGA Tour has realized this, is that there are going to be cases no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter if you're doing like the NBA with a bubble. There will be cases within the leagues, and I think that the MLB has realized that, and they are trying to put aside the fighting over the money and the agreement that they finally were able to reach, and they finally realized there are going to be cases in the MLB. There's no way around it. It's the virus doesn't care that they are coming back to play. I know multiple golfers and personnel on the tour this weekend have tested positive, which is really the most socially distanced sport. You know, golf is something that a lot of people have been saying that's one thing you can do. And the PGA Tour did start up earlier than most of the other leagues, as you could tell. They're playing this weekend, but they are still going to have people testing positive, especially in baseball. They have to realize that they know that it's going to happen no matter what. And I think that they're going to have to find a way to not only navigate around the fact that in baseball, they have to play a lot more games than whether it's the NBA or NFL, they have to play way more games to get their season into the playoffs at 60 games. They're going to be finishing up the regular season right around the time the NBA is going to be done with the playoffs. So they're going to have to be able to sustain this with longevity and not have an influx of cases where they have to just go back and shut down again, which I think is a very prevalent fear among a lot of owners. You know, if you take a look at what they're saying in the media, whether that's anonymously or not, you know, a lot of people are definitely concerned within the higher-ups of Major League Baseball organizations, as they should be, because their whole profit as a team, whether it's an owner, whether it's a manager, whatever it is, I think people talk about the players a lot, but it's also for these guys. They they probably are affected by it more than anybody because they're not making any money at all. I'm not saying that they're don't have enough money to last them, but they definitely don't want it to just have to get shut down again due to an influx of cases. The MLB, they need to realize that it's probably going to go downhill, and I think that a lot of leagues are going to come to this conclusion, because even with the golf, the first weekend went great, then this weekend they've started having a couple tests, and it's very hard to tell how that's going to work out. And I think that the NBA has approached it in the best way, where they're saying, we're going to have a bubble and we're going to have law enforcement so that people cannot get in. They're being tested every day or every other day, depending on who it is. And there's no way to, if someone's going to spread it, they're going to be taken out of, or if someone has tested positive, they're going to be taken out of the situation. So they're not spreading it to other people. And I think that the MLB, because they're not in a situation where they're just playing in one location, they're playing everywhere at the home stadiums, because I'm sure it'd be very hard to go and try and set up camp at one place where there's enough fields and everything for this to just happen for that amount of time. They decided to stay spread out. But the problem with that is that it's harder to test everyone and keep people. If they decide to let fans in, which I know the Cubs are praying that they could still get fans into Wrigley, it's going to be very hard to contain it if one staffer has it, because they're not as set on testing it as regularly as other leagues are, such as the NBA. So that's kind of where I stand on the MLB. I think that it could definitely go wrong. The question is, will it? Or at least, to what degree? Because we know that they're going to have cases. Is it enough to really get it shut down? Because with all these people testing positive in golf or the NBA, no one's really tested yet in the MLB. People seem to forget that it's still, even if you test positive, it's not like you could just automatically go back. You have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then you have to make sure you're healthy, because this is a very serious, very dangerous thing. You don't want to mess around with it. You don't want to danger others, especially if it could spread to a mass amount of people, which is another concern, so as I've stated before. So in terms of that, the MLB, they need to watch out, but you have to realize that it's a virus. Just saying you test positive, it's not like you could just automatically go back after 14 days. You have to make sure you're healthy, you test negative, because it's a very scary thing going on. As I said, today's going to be a shorter episode, only a couple other topics on the docket, kind of waiting for everything to get going again, because really not much for me to talk about, to be frank. One thing that did happen yesterday, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit before I go to break for a minute here. Vince Carter is retiring as an NBA legend, one of the best dunkers ever. When it comes to Vince Carter's legacy, a lot will be said, but one thing you can be for sure is he was a superstar. He had the talent. He was a box office appeal. He was sort of the dunking. He had the dunking ability of someone like a Dr. J or Dominique Wilkins. All these guys come to the top of your head when you think about the best dunkers ever, and he's certainly one of, if not the best. People talk about his legacy and they think, well, he should have been Kobe's biggest rival or this and that. The problem is that if he had stayed in Toronto with Tracy McGrady, there's no doubt in my mind he would have at least gotten to one NBA Finals. Whether or not he would have beaten the Lakers in the early 2000s or late 90s, that's a different discussion, but I have no doubt that they would have gotten past after 98, after Jordan left. I'm sure that they would have gotten past, you know, the Knicks or the Pacers one of those times, because they were just that talented as young players, and that sort of duo would have been a sort of Steph and Clay backcourt, not in the shooting sense, because they're the greatest shooters ever, Steph and Clay, but Tracy McGrady, amazing scorer, no one could really stop him one-on-one in his prime, and I think people forget that. And to Vince Carter, he was explosive. He could make plays. So I'm just talking about in terms of a backcourt that was that explosive and able to put up points in a hurry. It's one of the most explosive backcourts ever that never really got to see out their future. So I think if he had been able to stay there, didn't get traded to New Jersey, which then again, he had another chance sort of to improve on that legacy, but he was never really the main star on any team. And I think that that's what you'll sort of notice, because even when he was on the Nets, you know, they had Jason Kidd, who was all NBA, crazy talent, and he was really the catalyst for that team. So, once again, I'd like to say thank you to Vince Carter, because he's one of the greats ever. And I read an article, Kyle Lowry wrote a little letter to thank him about what he's done for the game, which it's very inspiring, because I feel like when the Raptors were first enacted, he was the biggest player to come through there, really, until, you know, Chris Bosh or Kawhi. Air Canada, which is kind of ironic, you know, but Vince Carter, very respected. I think that definitely people should think of him as one of the best. You know, he accomplished a lot. A lot of people say his career was unfulfilled, like Stephen A. yesterday on First Take, which don't get me started on that, but on the side note, people just should appreciate him for how great he really was, which I don't think people do enough. So, shout out to Vince, you know. But 8-time All-Star, All-NBA second team in 2001, All-NBA third team in 2000, Rookie of the Year, Slam Dunk Champion, just a great career for any player. I think that very underrated, but at the same time, there is some legitimacy to say he could have been better, but I think that he would never really was given the tools of what he needed to succeed at a high level. So, shout out to him, former Mr. Raptor, former New Jersey Net. What a career he really had. I think that we should all just take a moment to really appreciate what he did. You know, if you have YouTube, just go take a look at some of his highlights, not just the dunks, because everyone can look at the dunks and say what a great athlete he was, but he was just a great scorer in general. He got Toronto to their first playoff appearance in history, so, you know, shout out to him, as I've said. Sort of getting repetitive here, not much else to say, but just a lot of respect should go to him. And yeah, that's all about Vince Carter. Now, let's go to a quick break from our sponsor. And welcome back, everybody. So, sorry about that quick break. Now back to the episode. Finally, what I'd like to talk about. 16 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19 out of the 302 who were tested overall. Some of those players have been announced, including Alex Len, Buddy Hield, Jabari Parker, and Malcolm Brogdon. Now, funny thing is, three of those players I'll play on the Kings, who happen to be one of my two favorite teams. But, you know, as luck would have it, the Kings have some problems. Not related to COVID, but just they have some problems otherwise. We have a statement from Commissioner Adam Silver, who probably just said this about 2 hours ago. It blew up my Twitter timeline. He said, no options are risk-free right now, yet we can't sit on the sidelines indefinitely, and we must adapt. As of recording this episode, today is Friday the 26th of June, 2020. Adam Silver said that if there is a rise in cases in the Orlando bubble, it may lead to the NBA stopping play indefinitely. Once again, now, I think that Adam Silver's very smart for saying that, because they have probably the most secure plan of any major sports league. Yet, people, there will be cases, no matter what. There's no way around it. And I think that he's taking the right approach here because he definitely has stated that there will be law enforcement so that people can't just walk in and out of the bubble. That's the whole point of the bubble in the first place. And yes, I there's not really much for me to say about this. We're going to have to wait and see, just like the MLB. Will cases increase? Will they decrease? What is going to be the end result? Because I feel like there has to be a threshold that they're going to cross. We're going to say, if this many players, this percentage of players have cases, and they are a serious detriment to the teams. Like, if Kawhi and LeBron both get COVID and they have to go home, there's no point, really, because if stars especially get it, it's one thing if it's a role player who they could sign another free agent, but some of these guys you can't replace. So, like, Avery Bradley's going to sit out for the Lakers. This was another thing I wanted to talk about. And they are probably going to get J.R. Smith. At least that's what we've been hearing. That's something entirely different than if Giannis gets COVID and has to go home. There is a way to replace shooting and perimeter defending. Now, I don't agree that J.R. Smith can defend and is as good of a playmaker as Avery Bradley. I think he's a pure streaky shooter who can't really do much else. I feel like he is not as good of a fit, but I feel like he could definitely do the job of just hitting a couple threes a game and getting a quick couple buckets, but I don't think that he's on the level that Avery Bradley was playing at. But here's what I would say. I think that definitely Adam Silver needs to think about what's going to be the limit. When are we going to put a stop to it? Because it's going to spread. They know that. But there has to be a certain threshold that if they cross it, they're shutting it down. And I'd like to know sooner than later what that number is so that it's not like we're 2 weeks into the season and then they just shut it down because they crossed a number that no one else knew about. So that's what I would hope they would do. Now, in terms of players testing positive, it's going to happen, as I've said multiple times. Really nothing that can put a stop to it. Once again, I think that Adam Silver's done a great job, but they need to keep up the testing so that it can be contained, and I think that's the key. They need to be testing personnel every other day at least, or possibly every day, which I know has been a topic of discussion, because if someone has it and they even wait an extra day to test, like they get it on the day they're not being tested and then they talk to a bunch of people or etc., then it just blows up the whole system. So they need to be active and rampant in testing. Anyway, guys. Oh, by the way, final thoughts. Liverpool won the Premier League title for the first time in 30 years. Kind of a big deal. I'm a Man United fan, although I don't watch the Premier League that much, to be honest with you. But that being said, not very happy about that. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening once again. If you want to support the show, I'm going to be trying to create better content as we move along closer to the seasons here, because not much for me to talk about right now. Might not be uploading for a little bit because there's no news for me to talk to you about. There's nothing for me to upload about. So if there's anything major, I will try and record. But until there's a big breaking story, I'm probably not going to be uploading. I don't really have a real timeline anymore because there's no point in me trying to upload multiple times a week or even once a week sometimes because there's nothing to talk about. So once again, thank you for listening. Please go to anchor.fm/Drew-Goyer and donate to the listener support button. Click on that. You can make a donation and it really helps me out, helps me get better equipment, make better shows for you guys. So thank you very much. Once again, please go to anchor.fm/Drew-Goyer if you are able to donate. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you have a good one. I'll see you soon.